Okay, good evening everyone. Welcome to this Kingborough Council meeting. It's Monday the 11th of February and it's 5:30 PM, so I officially declare the meeting open. For members of the public here, I welcome you and advise that council meetings are recorded and made publicly available on our website, and so in accordance with that policy I now ask our General Manager to confirm that the recording has commenced.
Confirmed.
Thank you for that. Acknowledgement of traditional owners. I begin tonight by paying our council's respect to the traditional and original custodians of this land, the Muwinina people. I acknowledge the contemporary Tasmanian Aboriginal community who have survived invasion, dispossession and continue to maintain and fight for their identity, their culture and Indigenous rights. Attendees this evening is myself, Councillor Winter, Councillor Bastone, Councillor Street, Councillor Grace, Councillor Cordova, Councillor Midgley, Councillor Wass, and we are expecting Councillors Reet and Westwood, but they both work in the city and I suspect they'll be with us in a few minutes, so we won't record them as apologies at the moment. From our staff this evening we have our General Manager Gary Arnold, our Deputy General Manager Tony Ferrier, our Executive Manager of Engineering Services David Reeve, our Executive Manager of Governance and Community Services, Daniel Smee, our Operations Manager at the Kingborough Sports Precinct is Scott Wade, and our Communications and Engagement Advisor is Sarah Wilcox, and our Executive Assistant is Amanda Morton. Apologies, as I said, at the moment we have a leave of absence for Flora Fox. There are two councillors absent at the moment, but we are expecting to be with us momentarily. Confirmation of minutes is the next item. It's on page one. I'm looking for a councillor to move that the minutes of the open session of council meeting number two, held on the 28th of January 2020, be confirmed as a true record. Moved by Councillor Midgley, seconded by Councillor Bastone. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Those against, motions carried unanimously. We move to workshops held since the last council meeting, and on the 3rd of February, we held a workshop on our playground strategy. At this point, we move to declarations of interest. Does any councillor have an interest that they would like to declare this evening? Councillor Midgley.
Just in regards to the item, the sports precinct, my children are members of many sporting clubs.
Councillor Wass.
Yes, thank you, Mayor. I'd just like to state for the record that last year I was a social member of the Kingborough Lions Football Club. I've been involved with the Kingborough Knights for probably 10 or 15 years, providing an annual trophy. I'm also on the executive of the Kingborough Lions Football Club, and I'm patron of the Kingston Tennis Club. And I think I've got also had regular involvements with most of the others, in particular the Croquet Club and probably most of the others that are there, including the Sports Centre, which my wife attends frequently.
I expect this could escalate because I expect all of us have got something to do with it, but let's go for it. Councillor Cordova.
I'm on the board of Gymnastics Tasmania and I've trained at the Kingborough Gym Sports.
Any further declarations of interest at this point? Nope. We move on. The next item is the transfer of agenda items. Would anyone like to move that we transfer agenda items? Councillor Cordova.
Yes, I thought we'd move to move that sports precinct one further forward if possible.
I thought so too, and I've asked Ms Morton whether we might have a motion like that. And look, there it is. And the motion is that the debate on the Kingborough Sports Precinct Future Directions Plan be dealt with at the conclusion of questions on notice, which is basically the first item. Is that consistent with what you thought? Would anyone like to second that? Okay. Can ask a question. Is there a seconder? Councillor Grace?
Have a question. Why does this fit in when
we'll just see if I got a second
or if council meeting and was refused.
Did you move a motion at the last council meeting?
To bring the Bruni Arnold boat
club. Yeah, I don't recall that you actually moved the motion, Councillor Grace. All right.
Mayor, my only concern is I think there is a traffic hold-up in Hobart, and so I'm hoping the other councillors will be here in time.
Yeah, that's my concern, is that we have one councillor who's here, but that we might not have all councillors here.
We do still have questions on notice and without notice, and Councillor Westwood did advise me that she thought around 10 minutes late, so I would still...
Okay, because there's no parking anywhere.
We can actually remove another motion if we get to it and they're not here.
I'll second it. Great. And if we don't have a...
Yeah, we'll fix it. Yeah. Okay, so the motion, just for the gallery, is basically instead of you having to sit through a bunch of things, I'm pretty sure you're all here for the Twin Ovals, the Kingborough Sports Precinct. We'll deal with that first so that you can hear it and then not have to sit through potentially an hour of debate on other matters. So the motion is moved by Councillor Cordova and seconded by Councillor Midgley is that debate on the Kingborough Sports Precinct Future Directions Plan be dealt with at the conclusion of questions on notice from councillors. All those in favour, please say aye. Those against? Have a division. All those in favour, please raise your hand. Councillors Street, Reet, Cordova, Midgley and Winter. And those against, please raise your hand, is Councillor Grace, Bastone and Wass. So the motion is carried. Just for the record, Councillor Reet arrived just before that vote at 5:35pm. Okay, we move to questions without notice from the public. Just for those that don't have an agenda in front of them, the questions without notice from the public, one of the irregularities of the Local Government Act is that Section 31(4) says that a question by any member of the public and an answer to that question must not be debated at the meeting, meaning you can't actually ask a question without notice about something that's on the agenda this evening. It has to be about something that's not. Does any member of the public wish to ask a question without notice? Welcome to go to lectern.
Thank you. Question without notice, Julian Punch, Kingborough Ratepayers' Voice. One, given the considered transparency and public integrity changes to the Local Government Act in relation to improved regionally based consultation by council, including Kingborough, will council consider opening the closed meetings between the executive of the Kingborough Ratepayers Association and the Mayor, Deputy Mayor and General Manager to monthly meetings open to all ratepayers, councillors and other regional ratepayers progress associations in the regional settings? Bruny Island, for example, Bruny Island, Taruna, Kingborough West and the Channel, given that we have particular needs.
Thanks for your question, Mr. Punch. The Deputy Mayor and I meet with the Kingborough Ratepayers Association quarterly. It's not an official meeting of council. It's really a catch-up to discuss any ongoing concerns that their members have, to respond and give them an idea of what we're up to and what's on the agenda going forward. If a member of a regional community association wanted to meet with us, I'd be happy to as well.
I don't intend, according to the Act, for it to be debated tonight. It's without notice. I have a second question.
Yeah, sure.
And my notice, and it is to the councillors, to the mayor and the councillors, according to the Act. Will the Kingborough Council hold an information meeting with those ratepayers having outstanding certificates of final inspection and certificates of completion uncompleted according to the government's tight timeframe on extension of that permit on building projects?
General Manager.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Council has been proactive in this space, Mr. Punch, in contacting hundreds of owners who may not be aware that their permits are due to expire if they don't take appropriate action. Some 500 have responded positively. A handful have escalated the matter to my office, and those matters have been dealt with. And the legislation that we're dealing with is state government legislation, and council's response has been proactive in addressing that legislation.
It's a question without notice, so I didn't expect it to be debated tonight.
Been answered, Mr. Punch. It's been answered, Mr. Punch. That's what we're here for.
Well, it's a concern to a considerable number of impending ratepayers, and according to your discussion in the Mercury, there are a considerable number of ratepayers who are concerned and stressed by this.
Any further questions without notice? There being none, we'll move on to questions on notice from the public. So we've got two questions on notice from the public. The first one is on Ember attack strategy from Claire Corrigan, and there's an officer's response there on page two. And the second one is from Mr. Ray Westwood, and it's in relation to the biodiversity offset policy. We now move to questions without notice from councillors. Councillor Grace.
Mr. Mayor, I have three or four. Last council meeting I raised an issue regarding a car park that was built, an overflow car park at the Ketron Oyster Cove Inn. I noted that wasn't in any minutes, even though some answer was given, but I didn't think it was addressed fully. I raised that again.
Is there a particular question you'd like
to answer?
Well,
the question is, I understand it was built without a permit.
Yep. My recollection of the answer that you received was that the state government believed that it constituted emergency works under the Act, and Mr. Ferry provided the advice that he agreed that they did constitute emergency works.
He also said too that he did not, as I can quote, I think, feel that it may not be appropriate to that effect. And that's why I was surprised it's not in here.
We'll follow it up and confirm that the minutes are correct.
Well,
Councilor,
we need
Gross.
Something in writing back on that issue.
Sure.
We may. Drew Point Road. Several residents have phoned me regarding hooning and speeding there of the night. I think you've been contacted yourself. Would council consider speed humps? I don't know how we're going to police the speed humps in the middle of the night, but I feel that that is one way of slowing them down. So my question is council staff fully aware of what's happening at Drew Point Road?
Councillor Grace, I know that we're aware of a large amount of antisocial activity at Drew Point, in particular the vandalism and graffiti of council assets, including the toilets and cafe kiosk area, and of hooning in that area. Mr. Reeve, do you want to respond to the suggestion of speed humps?
Through you, Mayor. Look, before we would go down any track of actually looking at any sort of traffic management measures for any particular location there, you need to actually ascertain what the actual problem is there. So our normal response to this one there, where people actually identify where there is an issue there, is to put things down like traffic counters there that will actually clearly identify what sort of traffic's actually using it, when, and when the speeding traffic's actually occurring there. It is very difficult to deal with hooning, particularly when it occurs at night, and traffic management measures such as speed humps are not normally the best approach in terms of dealing with that side of things there, but certainly the first step is the identification of where and when.
Happy to talk to the police about that as well, Councillor Grace.
Yeah, well, if we've got any police, we don't seem to have that many down here. I don't think the police station's open to the night in Kingborough. I think that's a lot of the problem. There's a lot of hooning going on in Kingborough, and one only has to drive down the road of a morning, particularly Friday, Saturday, and see the evidence. Far down is Gordon. But anyway, let's move on. My next question is, Mayor, the Blackmans Bay blowhole fence. I understand we were giving more information to residents regarding the report the council received. Will council be going back and having further consultation with the ratepayers group before the contract is underway?
Thanks, Councillor Grace. We received an email today from the Blackmans Bay Residents Group concerned yesterday, I think, sorry, and General Managers responded today to direct them to where the relevant reports are on our website. There's a council resolution, as you're aware, but I know that the General Manager and our relevant staff have been engaging with that group, and if they've got any further concerns after they read that report, which I understand they will have done today, happy to hear those concerns.
So at this stage we're not, unless they come back to you.
Perhaps I can ask Mr. Smee or Mr. Reeve whether we've let the contract for the fence at the blowhole.
Through you, Mayor, I don't believe we've let that contract as yet.
Okay, thank you for that. My last question, I'm sorry to annoy the public, but these are questions that's raised by me from the public. 2 Ewing Avenue, as the General Manager assured me, that issue was going to be dealt with by council solicitor and the occupant's solicitor. I understand there's been a major breakdown between the lawyers. I understand that Kingborough lawyer wouldn't talk to the occupant's lawyer, so it left the occupant with no choice to write to their lawyer and ask them to stop work on it because they were getting bills and our lawyer... Now, this is what I'm told, that our lawyer was not corresponding back. The question is, the permit runs out, I believe, at the end of March, and then council can walk in and demolish the building. Mayor, I want to guarantee that the council won't walk in and demolish any building unless it comes back before the council.
General Manager.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Councillor Grace, your feedback is inaccurate and far from the truth. Council solicitor was engaging with the other party's solicitor until such time as the other party saw fit to sack that solicitor and advise us in writing that that had occurred. In terms of future actions of council, there is no approval in place that's about to expire. The whole matter rests on the fact that works were undertaken without approval. That approval is still not in place.
Now, just on that, Mayor, I just don't want to get into a fight or debate, but, Mr. General Manager, I'm not fabricating the information I'm providing to you. In fact, I have it in writing from a solicitor. I have it in writing.
Councillor Midgley.
Thank you, Mayor. I just have 4 quick questions. I understand members of the Kingborough Consultative Forum have been emailed to ask for their input into the council budget, which is really fantastic. I'm wondering if councillors will be provided these community suggestions prior to the councillors' budget workshop.
Mr. Eve. Oh, sorry. Mr. Ferrier.
Through the Chair, yes, there's no problems with that. It's just been looked at initially. It was only sent out to other staff a few days ago, so happy to include that amongst the information which is provided to the councillors for the budget session. Not all of the information relates to the budget, but a fair bit of it does, so it's all informative.
Great, thank you. My second question came from a community member. They've noticed that the toilet lights at Snug are on all night long, and they're wondering if it's possible to have sensor lights installed.
Mr. Reeve?
Through you, Mayor, yes, that's one we're actually looking at the moment, so we were aware of that issue.
Great, thank you. And just also a question around recycling bins. What is the plan for recycling bins in public places? I'm wondering will there be any placed in Snug?
Mr. Reeve?
Through you, Mayor, possibly at a later stage there. So at this stage there, in this current year there, we're rolling out some bins, about four different bin enclosures for the Kingston Beach area as a trial basis. We put a bid in for next year's budget to continue that across Kingston Beach and Blackmans Bay as well. And then depending on the success of that, we may look at actually rolling that out into other areas such as Margate and Snug as well.
Great. Thank you. And I'm just wondering, has Council ever considered flying a rainbow flag to celebrate TAS Pride Week? I note the City of Hobart are very active in celebrating TAS Pride Week, supporting a flag raising, a launch, venue support, and staff carried a City of Hobart banner in the Pride Parade. Would Kingborough consider to fly a rainbow flag for Pride Week 2021?
The other councillors have been here longer than me, but I think the answer is no, certainly not in the last 5 years. And it's not something we're actively considering at the moment, but it's not something that we've got our minds closed to either. It sounds like a suggestion that could be form the basis of a notice of motion. Any further questions without notice from councillors? Councillor Wass.
Yes, thank you, Mayor. I'd like to read and then ask a series of questions from a news article produced by the ABC on the 9th of March 2019 under the heading Southern Huskies Basketball Club Folds to the Surprise of New Zealand League Boss. Paragraph opens and it says the Tasmanian club, run by co-founders Justin Hickey and Mike Sutton, announced it was breaking its 5-year licence agreement with the New Zealand competition and would not be renewing their licence for both the men and women's programs in Tasmania. The Huskies entered the New Zealand NBL this season with the intention of pushing for Australian NBL inclusion in future years. The club was the recipient of a $200,000 grant from the Tasmanian government, but middling crowds and ticket sales saw the club struggle financially. Further down it states that the Huskies thanked their supporters and all sponsors, volunteers and partners and said, arrangements will be made with all remaining creditors to be paid. My questions, Mayor, is as at the 21st of November 2019, the debt was $3,370. My question is this still the amount outstanding and what arrangements, if any, are in place? My second question, why has the debt been allowed to continue for some 8 months? My third question, what does, and I quote, the debt is being addressed within Council's normal debt recovery process, unquote, entail? Next question, have the club founders been contacted to discuss indebtedness?
Do you want this answer tonight? Because if we do it one by one, we might.
Well, if they can all answer, I see Mr. Wade there as manager of the sports centre. I'm sure he'd have an answer to all those.
Do you want to take them on notice or this evening?
Thank you, Mr. Wade.
You want to take them now? So start with the first question. We'd like to take them now.
Okay. What's the amount owing and what arrangements have been entered into to clear the debt?
Mr. Smee.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, the amount owing is still the amount you quoted of some $3,000 in accordance with Council's outstanding debt recovery practices. The matter has been put in the hands of the collection agency and that's where it currently stands.
Thank you, Mayor. My second question, why has the debt been allowed to continue for some 8 months?
Councillor Boss, what do you propose that Council
well,
does?
Well, Mayor, I get the feeling that no one on staff is prepared to go the extra mile to get this money. It has never ever been raised at this Council other than by myself. And that's why I've got six questions I would like to ask.
But, Mr. Smee.
Through you, Mayor, I guess initially there were endeavours to resolve the outstanding debt amicably through negotiations with the Huskies, and that did indeed result in some $9,000 of the original debt being repaid. Debt recovery is always a difficult process, and we follow our standard practices and we would all on staff like to resolve this as quickly as we could, but as I've said, recovering debt is not always easy.
My next question, Mayor, is what does, quote, the debt is being addressed within Council's normal debt recovery process mean and entail?
Mr. Smee.
Yeah, through you, Mayor, as indicated previously, our standard recovery processes are to give the debtors specified time periods in which to settle the amount and after that time period it does get referred either to a collection agency or to the monetary penalties enforcement scheme. In this case it's been referred to a collection agency.
Next question, Mayor. Have the club founders been contacted to discuss indebtedness and what's been the result?
This is me.
Through you, Mayor, the club has been contacted on a number of occasions. There have been some undertakings given that the debt would be settled. Unfortunately, that hasn't occurred in full.
The question I had, Mayor, was have the club founders been contacted, not the club?
Through you, Mayor, yes, the club founders have been contacted directly by staff.
My next question is, has Basketball Tasmania been contacted to assist debt recovery?
This is me.
Through you, Mayor, yes, Basketball Tasmania are aware of the situation. We have raised it with them and sought their assistance.
And my final question, Mayor, is when will a full report be provided to Council regarding the Hobart Huskies Basketball Club and their debt to Council?
This is me.
Through you, Mayor, at some point, if the debt remains outstanding and the collection agency advise us that they have little hope of recovering the debt, the matter would need to be reported to Council and further action from that point would need to be considered.
Mayor, with that answer, what's the time frame?
Mr. Smee.
Through you, Mayor, I couldn't put a specified time frame on that. It would depend very much on the handling of the matter by the collection agency and what they believe the chances of success are and within what time frames.
Thank you, Mayor. I'm disappointed we don't seem interested, I'm sorry to say.
I'll let that go, I think. Okay. In line with the notice of motion that was carried earlier with public... questions on notice from Council. Oh, Sue. Sorry. And I called you Sue. Councillor Bastow.
That's correct. This is just a position of clarity on questions on notice from councillors. I actually only asked the first two questions in the long list of questions that are there. I believe from 12.3 down was Councillor Grace.
You're quite right.
We'll note that. Thanks, Councillor Bastow. Right, questions on notice before we move on. So the questions on notice are the first... How many were yours, Councillor Bastow? First two. Okay. The first question was on a lack of lighting near Middleton Hall from Councillor Bastow. The second question was on sculptures from Councillor Bastow. Third question was from Councillor Grace on Longley Park. The fourth was from Councillor Grace also on ceiling of Harvey Road. Question 5 is on caravans at the Bruny Island Hotel from Councillor Grace. Question 6 is on ceiling of Harvey Road from Councillor Grace. And question 7 is from Councillor Cordova and it's on the Kingborough Youth NEET, which is NEET, which is there's a response there from Mr. Smee on page 5. So with that, we now think that closes questions on notice and without notice. And in line with that motion earlier from Councillor Cordova, we're going to move on to the item that is titled Kingborough Sports Precinct Future Directions Plan. There's a recommended motion there on page 56. Would anyone like to move that? Councillor Westwood, seconder. Councillor Cordova. Councillor Westwood.
Thank you, Mayor. I note that this report to Council asks for Council's endorsement of the Kingborough Sports Precinct Future Directions Plan. It's quite a lengthy document. It's got lots of different bits and pieces in it. It's an aspirational document to guide Council's thinking over the next 30 years, I believe. The Kingborough Sports Precinct is a much-loved community asset. And as I look at the list of sports from AusPlay who have done a survey on sporting participation for children, I read down the list and almost all of those sports are represented at our Kingborough Sports Precinct, the most popular being swimming, which we don't quite have yet, but I'm very pleased to see that the feasibility into a future aquatic leisure centre is mentioned in the report. So we've got swimming, soccer, gymnastics, dancing, football, basketball, tennis, netball, athletics, cricket, karate, and the list goes on. 33 organisations, I believe, that are represented at the Kingborough Sports Precinct site. I see this document as an opportunity for Council to lead the implementation of health and wellbeing initiatives in our community. As I said, it is a much-loved community asset frequented by families multiple times every week. I'm very pleased to see that the plan addresses the issue of car parking at the precinct, because that, particularly on weekends, is an issue. As I said, the feasibility of a future aquatic leisure centre, the possibility of an athlete development program for years 11 and 12 at a Kingston High School sports college sounds pretty great for our children, improved pedestrian linkages and bus services. At the moment, the buses drop the kids off on the other side of the road, so it'd be really great to see some bus services servicing the sports precinct, because there are a lot of people from municipalities outside of Kingborough who also travel to the precinct for their sporting opportunities, and increasing participation in sport, as we know, has a lot of benefits for our community outside of just physical health. So anything that Council can do to encourage participation, help with the creation of a connected and a healthy community, is something that I think is really exciting, and I look forward to seeing how some of the things that are outlined in here come to fruition over the next couple of decades.
Councillor Grace.
Mayor, I speak against this document, and I speak against it because my experience in council, 20 years, this is a fairly large document, the Precinct Future Plan. To me, and as far as I know, there has been very little, if any, consultation. Down south, where I come from, nobody knows anything about it. Nobody. We didn't know anything about the playground until, bang, it was hit on the table and $5-7 million was put into that. There is no infrastructure much being built south of Kingston. You want to turn around, this council want to turn around now and adopt this document without the consultation. I don't think we've even had a workshop on it. May have had one, I don't know, one. One workshop to look at a document this big and not put this document out to public consultation. The public own this council, not us. The public. And we are getting kicked from bottom to top of this municipality because of the lack of consultation within this council. You know that, Mayor, and I know that, because people come up to us and tell us, what are you doing? We didn't know anything about that. Not everybody has computers, and we've said that time and time and time again. Not everyone has the luxury of computers. We don't go out like we used to as a council. When I first came on the council, this document would go out to a public and council staff would have meetings throughout the municipality and get feedback on them. I suggest this is what we do with this document. I can't see if any councillors vote for this tonight, they're voting on something they really don't know what they're letting themselves in for. That's my opinion.
Councillor Midgley.
Thank you, Mayor. I'd just like to ask a question, then I'll speak, not at this time, but another time. I'd actually like an explanation of the consultation process for the development of the sports precinct plan. Please.
Mr. Wade or Mr. Smee? Mr. Wade.
Thank you. through the mayor. So Inspiring Place, who are the authors of the document, have consulted with a great number of the 33 organisations that use the precinct, and those that Inspiring Place haven't consulted with, I have, personally. So all 33 organisations have been consulted. So I guess the logic to that is, as Councillor Westwood said, it's an aspirational document. The document doesn't contain any specific recommendations, and if endorsed, if the future direction, so this is a blueprint for the future, if the future direction, if council endorsed that blueprint, then consultation with the public will most definitely occur. The responsibility for consulting, you know, if we talk to the Kingston Tennis Club or if we talk to the Croquet Club, which we have, we've spoken to their official representatives, and the responsibility is their responsibility to then consult with their members.
So just, I have a few more questions. So I'm just wondering, in regards to this consultation, is this in line with the council's consultation engagement policy?
Do you want to answer that? Ms. Wilcox.
Through you, Mayor. That policy is on the agenda tonight, actually hasn't been adopted yet, and we haven't had one previously. So this was done purely through the consultants that were hired to do the project.
Okay, so just a few more questions. So in regards to the, I did note in the document, it said it was consulted with the staff and Inspiring Place consulted with 33 stakeholders. What was then the process for, the different sporting groups, if they were consulted, was that then recommended to pass on to the clubs and part of the community and things like that, so it was up to them to pass on the information? If I could just understand that process more, please.
Mr. Wade. Through the mayor. Yeah, normal process at this stage of the project would be we consult with office bearers and officials with every organisation that use the precinct, so all the users of the precinct, and then we get their input into what they think the future might look like, what's important to their specific organisation, and then we've advised them through that process that once the plan comes out, the opportunity then is to undergo extensive consultation within the broader community, and as I said previously, the responsibility to consult with club members of an incorporated body actually rests with the incorporated body, not necessarily with council.
Thank you. Just a few more questions to help my understanding. So the recommendations and what is the aspiration report, my understanding is it doesn't commit council to implementing what is said, they're more just aspirations and ideas. Is that correct?
Mr. Wade. Through the mayor. That is entirely correct. This document is about planning for the future, and I guess my comment is about, I look at the Kingborough Sports Precinct 20 years ago and there wasn't a Kingston High School there, there wasn't a second stadium, there wasn't a state gymnastics centre, there weren't the twin ovals. So a lot's happened in the past 20 years, and a lot of that's happened on an ad hoc basis. So the opportunity for this report is to really set the priorities for the precinct, because it's an amazing precinct for this community. It's probably close to the best in the nation in terms of a community-focused facility. And the footprint actually can't grow because, you know, once upon a time it used to be farmland and now there's residential housing all the way through. So the important part of this process is to just have a look at the future, set our aspirations, doesn't commit anybody to anything, and it enables, I guess, staff to then further consult with all of the user groups and maybe user groups that aren't even there at the moment, is to consult about what the future might look like with at least some guideline as to what our priorities are.
Thank you. Thank you, Mayor. Just one final question. We have had a few emails concerning around our financial commitment and future rates going up due to this. I'm just wanting to know at this stage again, and I've heard you say it, but I'd just like to hear it. Sorry, Mayor, if staff could please respond in regards to, do we have any finance, by approving this tonight, is there any financial commitment to council at present for the next budget?
General Manager, do you want to take that one?
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Councillor Midgley, the answer to that question would be that any future action that might come out of council endorsing this precinct's plan would require a further report to council and certainly would require budget deliberation on an annual basis.
I raise a question on that.
You can leave the light and I'll come to you next. Yeah. I've got a light from Councillor Bastone and then Councillor Reet. So Councillor Bastone.
Thank you. I have a few concerns, which probably are questions to start with. Have we contacted the state sporting organisations such as Trish Squires at the head of the AFL as to the thought of putting a second turf wicket into the middle of an AFL ground?
Mr. Smee, I think you've spoken to Ms. Squires, is that correct? Mr. Smee.
Through you, Mayor, yes, I have spoken with Trish Squires and we have also spoken with representatives from AFL Tasmania as part of this process.
Can I then ask when you spoke to Trish Squires? Was it after this report was done?
Mr. Smee.
Through you, Mayor, yes, specifically to Trish Squires, it was after the report. The discussions with reps from AFL Tasmania were prior to the report being released.
Thank you. In regard to embracing the creation of a sports college within Kingston High School, when we discussed this previously, it was for the Kingston High School to be using part of the indoor facilities. And how will we ensure that the public remains being able to use this and not like the Creative Arts Centre where, although it's a joint council sports centre, we rarely, a council and school centre, we rarely get to use it.
Mr. Wade.
Yeah, all community-owned sporting facilities are available to the community outside school hours. The arrangement the council has currently got with the Kingston High School relating to the two courts on the in the Kingston Sports Centre and the squash courts, that's working extremely well. And look, my discussions with the Kingston High School is that the community can use the Performing Arts Centre, so I think there's a communication breakdown somewhere along the line, but the relationship with the school is excellent, in my opinion.
That's your opinion, and thank you for it. I think probably my biggest concern this is that it is very aspirational, but some things seem to be the desire to have some parts of it done very quickly and other parts left sort of wrong term. If we're being aspirational, have we considered the fact that we could have the AFL stadium here? When they're looking for a place, they're saying within 5 years we'll have our AFL team. Why can we not push for it to be here at Kingston?
Well, that'd be a decision of council to do that.
But this is not part of our aspirational 20-year report. That's what I'm saying. So it's not really aspirational at all.
Well, just because it's not aspirational in the way you would like it to be doesn't mean it's not aspirational.
Right. And can I ask how soon they're thinking of installing a second turf wicket?
Mr. Wade, do you have any...
The report doesn't contain any timelines on any of the suggested opportunities for the future.
Yes, but there... We have already had this discussion once before with council about the second turf wicket, which was to be in a fairly short time. I'm asking, did that not come up at all, that there was no time frame at all for any parts of this report?
Mr. Smee.
Through you, Mayor, the priority would depend who you talk to. And I think if you talk to representatives of the Kingborough District Cricket Club, they'd like it to happen for next season. There's a whole raft of issues to be worked through if that's to come to a reality, and first and foremost is the capital outlay. Then council needs to get its head around the operational outlay, and then there's the logistics of how the ground could potentially be shared between two users. So the time frames are really one for council to work through, given the issues that it will face if that particular recommendation is to be pursued. But as I said, the priority very much rests with the user groups and depending on what side of the fence you sit on.
Definitely. Thank you. That's all of my questions for the time being.
Councillor Reid.
Thank you. Look, this is a very bold and visionary plan, as it states. And I think that's really good, because I think that if we want to change something significantly and bring together this whole area that, as we've already heard and as is outlined in the report that we have, it's changed significantly over the last 20 years. The current master plan was put together 10 years. It's changed just in the last 10 years. I've been an active user of that precinct for 25 or 30 years or more in various forms, both myself and as a parent of children who do sports there. And it has changed, and we must change our thinking if we are going to get the most that we possibly can out of some facilities that are already very good and could be even greater. So for those people who say that we're being ridiculous for being aspirational, you're not thinking outside of the square. And if you're going to be aspirational, think bold and think big. But the point that's being missed in all of this is that this isn't committing us to anything. In fact, if you go to 9.3 in the conclusion on of the report, it says council's endorsement of the plan, so what we're being asked to do tonight, is sought to enable further engagement with stakeholders in regard to facilitating this plan. So we're not saying we want to do everything in this. We can't possibly. We can't commit to that tonight. We're not expecting to commit to that tonight, and we're not financially in a position to do that. We need to have a starting point to have further discussions with a range of people within the community. Now, I understand that the full document is available on Council's website now. It makes a very interesting reading. Councillor Grace alluded to a workshop. Yes, councillors did have a workshop. I don't believe that you were present at that workshop. It was really interesting and an opportunity to ask, you know, how is any of this even possible? And look, I'll be the first to admit that I thought, wow, this is almost too big. You know, can we do this as a municipality? And we can't do it alone, that's for sure. I would expect that if we are going to implement this, we are going to need significant assistance from other tiers of government, and particularly the federal government. And isn't it funny that we're discussing this not long after the Sports Rorts affair, and the fact that maybe, just maybe, given we're not in a marginal seat, there might be some hope if we can come up with a very attractive plan that in the future that we do attract some serious funding to the municipality from other sources, because compared to other areas of the state, we haven't been as well looked after as others. And as the report says, there are 33 different organisations that call the Kingborough Sports Centre precinct home. But to me, this isn't just about those clubs. There is a bigger picture here, and that is about the connectivity between all those areas. It's about pedestrians being able to walk and cycle between all those areas in a seamless way. It also, this ties in with all the work that we're doing on traffic congestion and looking at how we can get the flow around, because it's not just that precinct that's grown. The whole area around it has grown with new subdivisions. We need to get park and ride facilities. We need to get proper bus services so that kids can go up to the sports centre and get their buses.
to their chosen activity. I'm excited by the opportunity of having potentially the first sports college in the state. And as far as I used to be deputy chair of the Kingston High School School Association, and the discussion about the Performing Arts Centre and the relationship between council and the school came up many times. And as far as I am concerned, wearing that hat, I have to agree with our staff that that relationship was very good. The trick with that has been that the demand from the community hasn't been there to use that facility, particularly after hours, as we had planned. So that's a whole other issue, but let's not forget that the education department contributed significantly to the building of that as well. There are great opportunities here, and I know there's an elephant in the room in relation to the drop-in cricket turf pitch. And look, I'm not an expert on cricket or football, and so I don't feel that I can give advice on that, and we can take advice from people who have expertise in these areas. The further consultation will allow us to do that, and that's why I believe we're doing the right thing by supporting this as a draft tonight to go forward to have further community input.
Councillor Grace, you had a question.
Yes, the question I have, and Councillor Rita said about the precinct plan. I've sat here that many times around the table, particularly with the old high school site and the moving of the high school, looking at precinct plans, and we were told it's only a guideline and there's no funds in it.
Councillor Grace, just a reminder.
And the question is then, Mayor, is that what the General Manager has just pointed, we're going to endorse this precinct plan. We're going to endorse it if we vote for it tonight. And there's nothing stopping this council coming back without any budget funding and...
Councillor Grace, you still haven't got to a question.
Well, the question is, I believe this is fraud. Flawed. Okay.
Thanks,
flawed. Flawed, not...
Thanks, Councillor Grace. You're not asking a question.
Yes, you don't understand.
No. This is... Just for the record, because this happens every meeting. Just want people to understand, under the meeting procedures, regulations that I have to adhere to, each council is allowed to speak once, and after you've spoken once, you can ask a question. What Councillor Grace is trying to do is speak twice.
You can only speak once on such an important document that will put this great order.
Thanks. Point of order, yes.
Why do I need to grandstand? Why do I need to grandstand? I'm just saying.
Councillor Grace... Councillor Grace, you're out of order.
Yes, sir.
Just because there's a lot of people here and I want to explain what's happening.
Yeah,
So the meeting procedures regulations that I have to adhere to, that's my role under law, is that each councillor is allowed to speak once. They are able to follow up with a question if they like, and you would have heard Councillor Midgley asked a number of questions, which means that she's still able to make a contribution later. All of us have to adhere to that rule, so we only make one contribution each. Every meeting Councillor Grace does this, and every meeting I explain it to him, and every meeting he does what he just did. Councillor Midgley.
Thanks, sorry, my light wasn't working. Am I allowed to ask, just to clarify, more questions?
Yes.
I can ask a minute. I thought so, I was just checking. Just again, some more questions in regards to what other councillors have raised. So, just to clarify, Councillor Bastone raised that there would be no parts of this of the projects that would have priorities over others. I'm just wanting to know, is that correct,
Mr. Wade?
Of course it will.
Yeah, that's correct. We've obviously got a feasibility study that's occurring at the moment regarding the potential of an aquatic leisure centre based within the precinct. Now, that's certainly, I guess, broadly seen as a priority. And there's in the report, it also reports to four main big, bold and visionary priorities and a number of others. But the reality is there is no time frame set on any of these suggested future direction opportunities.
Just one final question. I know councillors sometimes get sick of me when I quote other councils around the area and what they're doing. Just getting my head around engagement, I do love our community engagement area, and I guess the thought, the process of community engagement, and it has been a question that I have asked a lot of thoughts, or I have asked a lot of questions over the weekend. Now, I note this is a draft, so this is a draft sporting precinct plan. Is that correct? Because it hasn't got draft
on it. Mr. Wade.
Well, it's draft until it's endorsed, yes.
Okay. So I'm just noting, I'm looking on the City of Hobart website. They have a draft, I don't know when it was, but they had a draft Newtown Sporting Precinct Master Plan that was done by Inspiring Place. Now, that draft then went out through their Your Say comment to have further and broader community input, and then they provided that information. That report, the plan, then went to council after that. They probably did individual stakeholder engagement, but I'm just wondering why we didn't go through our say, council's our say, to provide broader community engagement on this draft sporting precinct plan as a whole document. I guess that's the question I've been pondering over the weekend.
I'm happy to, if this doesn't clarify. So 9.3 was referenced by Councillor Reid, and it talks about disallowing staff to go out with that level of engagement. You've already seen that start with the swimming pool ALSEI survey. So we're actually already, through one of those elements of the vision, we're already going out asking people what their views are. So that's the plan, and as I understand the elephant in the room again on the Twin Ovals situation, that council staff would be going to sit down and talk to users if the plans engage and potentially speak more widely as part of the consultation.
I understand that, Mayor. I'm just wondering...
Do you want me to get...
I'm understanding that. I'm just unpacking it. So I'm understanding that we'll go out and do the individual consultation. It's really fantastic, and we have a fantastic process, and Ms. Wilcox does a fantastic job on that. It's just then what happens is if we go out and do the individual conversations around the pool and the turf and the tennis and everything, does that mean that this whole plan kind of changes in a way? I don't know, we paid a lot of money to have this plan, and does it mean that after we've gone out for these individual conversations, does it then have an impact on the overall plan?
I guess the vision, though, really. I mean, the vision is what you're endorsing tonight, and there's a vision within the papers. The individual elements are quite complex, including, with the swimming pool example, the question, one of the major questions is how long would the swimming pool be, what do people actually need it for? So the vision doesn't change if the swimming pool changes in size. The vision's what we're endorsing, and the actual individual elements can change as a result of the consultation.
Thank you for clarifying.
No problem. Councillor Bastone.
Mine's a question. I need to get my head around this as Councillor Midgley. At the moment, it's a draft plan. But if we endorse it tonight, it becomes the plan. Is that right?
Mr. Wade or Mr. Smee? Mr. Smee?
Through you, Mayor, that's correct. It will become Council's future directions plan for the next 2-3 decades for the precinct.
Thank you.
Councillor Wass.
Thank you, Mayor. I'd like to talk about the sport and recreation trends, which, in addition to the quotes for our adult statistics, the top four under 15 sports identified by the Australian Bureau of Statistics quote, and I'll give you these in order, swimming, football, dance and gymnastics, which I think all goes well for a strong financial sports precinct. Under improving access and connectivity, the report does not address the desire for school buses being diverted from the Channel from the Huon Highway to the Sports Centre to drop off and pick up student passengers, and I believe this is a must for safety as well as common sense. On the Twin Ovals, I'd like to give some history that it was originally designed and built as a purpose sports ground to meet the individual needs into the future for both cricket and football. The Kingston Beach Oval was ideal for cricket, and fully supported by Cricket Tasmania, as an ideal village cricket facility and directed many representative games to the Oval. For football, the ground was too small. The centre turf wicket caused issues for local and visiting teams, including injuries. The football club was eager to move to the Twin Ovals. The cricket club was a little bit more cautious to make the move. AFL Tasmania was fully supportive of the new ground, and they in fact injected $500,000 into the project. Cricket Tasmania viewed the plans, agreed the content, said they were good, and then found that they sought a building extension because they forgot about a scorer's office. That was done at some cost of, I think, $40,000 or $50,000, and Cricket Tas were very good. They gave us about $15,000 towards that. I think that's the only contribution they've ever made. Following the cricket club relocation to the sports precinct, and the club still needed a second turf wicket because it never ever achieved anything. One ground here to one ground there. There was a staff report recommended that the turf wicket to be removed from the Kingston Beach Oval on the grounds, wait for it, on the grounds of the annual turf wicket maintenance costs. There was no consideration given to the future of the game of cricket whatsoever in the municipality. That figure, I understand, additional maintenance costs, is somewhere between $100,000 and $150,000 extra per year. Both cricket and football are enjoying increased participation, and both at Tasmania elite level have high demand on their players, their infrastructure and training requirements. Both sports are no longer a 5 month per year sport. When I played footy, training was twice a week, kick to kick, a couple of drills. For anyone who witnessed Brisbane Lions recently or go up and have a look at Kingborough Tigers train, you'll note that it's dynamic. It's made up of match drills incorporating the whole ground. The football season starts at November and ends in September. So there's only 2 months a year that they're not training. Tas football has suffered from administration decisions in the past. However, local football is making a comeback, and it is accredited with experiencing the biggest growth of sport, and this growth is expected to continue for some time. Last year, the Tigers, in addition to their male roster, had 120 women who were playing. And I understand that they believe they're going to exceed that figure this year. The club presently trains Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursdays, and I think Thursday there's just too many people on the ground. I think it's 120 plus, and the venue, the present venue, is stretching to meet demand. Having said that, a second turf wicket for Kingborough Knights is required to cater for the growth of the sport, including women's participation. Likewise, in addition to that, we need to find money for change room additions, because nearly every venue in Kingborough requires an additional change room facilities. To install a second turf wicket at the Twin Ovals is a short-sighted and poor decision. We need to investigate different options, including the Kingston Beach Oval, Gormley Park Oval, and the area adjacent south of the Gormley Park Oval, which originally was considered as the best option for building the second turf wicket. The second turf wicket should not be installed at the Twin Ovals, nor even considered for Lightwood Park, the two remaining green areas. We should not destroy the viability of one sport to cater for the needs of another. If we do that, this council needs to find another venue for the football club, because if it doesn't, it puts the death knell into sport. And I didn't say that, Mayor, to get the appreciation of the crowd, but on that basis, I cannot support this plan. It needs further homework, it needs more massage, and I think we can do it, but this plan doesn't allow us to do it.
Councillor Cordova.
Thank you. Through you, Mayor, a question. Can you please explain, or can somebody on staff please explain, to the best of our knowledge, how Blundstone Arena manages its turf wicket? It was reported in the pages of the Mercury on the 7th of this month that it might take 2 weeks to get the grounds ready for AFL. I was just interested if anybody knows.
Mr. Wade, I know you're not a turf guy. But...
Through the Mayor, based on my experience, that Blundstone Arena is a venue which hosts in-season AFL roster matches. Yes, you're correct, it takes the Clarence District Football Club, who play in the same competition as the Kingborough Tigers, have to exit that ground 2 weeks prior to getting the cricket pitch up to date. So yes, 2 weeks is the right number.
Thank you, and through you, Mayor, a follow-up question on that. Does Kingborough have the same requisite capacity or resources to be able to manage a similar kind of transition within a two-week time frame?
Mr. Smee.
Through you, Mayor, if you're talking the time frame required to prepare one ground from another in the changeover of season, at present we require about 4 weeks to get the lower ground in its transition from its winter use to its summer use. So 4 weeks is our current time frame.
Thank you. One last question through you, Mayor. Now that we know that it's it appears like it's 4 weeks, is there any chance of indelibly either damaging the pitch or making it reducing its capacity to play a high level games if we were to adopt a turf wicket?
Mr. Smee.
Through you, Mayor, 4 weeks is our current changeover. Everything is dependent on staffing and resources. So I think the experience of Bell Reeve is that 2 weeks is your absolute minimum. But it does all depend on the level of staff available to get that turnaround time. And yes, if that level of resourcing is not available, there is a chance that any wicket that's prepared will be underprepared. But as to damage to the turf wicket, the damage to the turf wicket is far more of a relevant issue when you're playing cricket on it rather than running over it.
Thanks very much. My mistake, Mayor. Just one last question. There's been questions raised to me about player safety and if there was a turf wicket to go onto the twin ovals that we're talking about. Would there be an issue with player safety, and also would there be an issue with mud in the centre of the pitch, in the opinion of our staff? The follow-up to that would be, is that something that we could also examine further during consultation after this vision is passed?
Mr. Wade or Smee?
There is no risk to player safety, provided you're not playing, as we mentioned before, it's either a 2 week or a 4 week turnaround, somewhere in between that, depending on what stage of the season you're at. But football, AFL football, football not as in soccer, but AFL football, as is played on many, many other ovals throughout the state of Tasmania and nationally. So, it's obviously common that football and cricket coexist on one venue, and there's certainly no safety options from an AFL perspective.
Thanks very much. Through you, Mayor, if you'll indulge me, I'd now like to start my substantive contribution, and being cognizant of the fact that obviously player safety is of utmost importance. But I would like to start with kind of some background. This report has many positive elements and some elements which obviously cause contention and deserve our close consideration as councillors to ensure that the future of the Kingborough Sports Precinct develops in such a way that maximises its utility and also makes it a great place for the health and well-being of our community. Many parts of this report are exciting, full of opportunity and aspiration. I've participated in sport at the Kingborough Sports Centre through gymnastics and tumbling for nearly 20 years, and I've watched it grow over that time. And my very first job was actually at Kingborough as an assistant gym coach when I was in grade 10. So I know full well how much of a part of this community that area is and what tremendous opportunities it's afforded me personally. This precinct is something which this municipality can be proud of because it's an opportunity to make healthy choices easy choices. And the 33 organisations that rely on the Kingborough Sports Precinct are helping keep our community healthy and improving their social connections, psychological and physical health. Sports organisations like those on offer at the precinct are providing fundamental movement skills to people of all ages, but particularly uplifting is that The fact is that these opportunities, when afforded to young people, develop skills and habits that keep people healthy throughout the rest of their lives, and this gives us huge social dividends. I'm excited about the idea of developing a new aquatic facility. I'm looking forward to seeing Kingston High School as a premier sports college for Tasmania. I welcome the idea of expanding the indoor stadium and construction of a new stadium to provide greater capacity. Improved pedestrian linkages and upgrading of Gormley Park and amenities at Lightwood Park are all good things. I would like to point out that in addition to park and ride facilities and expanded metro bus services at the precinct, which I welcome, I think the report would benefit from examining if additional school bus services could be routed via Kingborough Sports Precinct to encourage safe access and additional participation. Also worth noting that in the trends assessment on page 87, there's mention made of basketball, netball and futsal growing in participation, but you know, with my involvement in gymnastics, I've seen that it's now the third popular most sport for young people under the age of 15. And I've witnessed that growth personally by participating in the gymnastics centre there, that a facility that was designed for 1,600 athletes and now currently has 2,300. And this is just one success story among many others across those 33 clubs. There's success stories of club growth, participation growth, growth in friendships and community connections, as well as individual athletes who have gone on to do amazing things for their club, for their state, and in some cases on Australian teams. So I wholeheartedly support the recommendation to develop an active transport plan, for example, as mentioned on page 34, that sets out the priorities, preferred routes and detailed action plans for improving accessibility and connectivity within the Kingston urban area. And I hope this extends to separated cycle lanes and shared paths throughout the area. Fundamentally, getting to that elephant in the room, balancing the principle of maximising participation versus potentially diminishing what's been referred to as the jewel in the crown of high-performance facilities is one that we have to contend with tonight. But we should also recognise that what we're looking at here is something much bigger than the sum of its individual components. We're looking here at something that outlines a master plan for the next two or three decades to come. So I know from speaking to stakeholders that we have a jewel in the crown here on the Twin Ovals, and there's a position that says why would we want to undercut that or risk diminishing the utility of what is currently a really nationally class facility, or if not world class for all I know. I've heard requests for a deferral. I've also heard requests for more research into other options. Councillor Wass mentioned some of those, maybe Snug Oval. I've heard about potential injury risk from hardening of the ground. I've heard that this could affect up to 380 players, many of whom I assume are in this chamber tonight. And some of those people, or all of those people who are rising through the ranks and doing their community proud. I've also heard that the consultation was not adequate to have people's voices fairly heard. On the other side of that, I've heard that it's really important to maximise participation, and that's why I asked this question about Blundstone Arena, which is, according to my understanding, first class for AFL, and they're seeming to manage a turf wicket. We've currently got teams who allegedly are travelling 85 kilometres on a round trip to Pontville to play home games, and women playing on Sunday night at 4 p.m. because of a lack of ground. So we have to deal with this tension to maximise the utility for the whole community. And we've got a choice here between, I guess, the status quo versus something that could be incredible for the entire community. So the key questions for me, and I'll get to the point quickly, is how long does it take to prepare the grounds for AFL? We've done that, or we've heard one opinion on that. Will the additional turf wicket indelibly diminish the quality of the grounds? We've heard about that too. Is there a way that we can enshrine certainty for AFL players by stipulating a minimum required vacancy time so that the grounds have time to be prepared? And could we do this through that consultation process, which could take place after this vision is passed or not passed by the Kingborough Council tonight? Does this future directions plan fairly meet our key priority areas, which are to encourage and support a safe, healthy and connected community? So to summarise, thank you so much.
You're 15 seconds over your time at the moment.
Page 61 in the recommended action table, the number one priority says that we are going to, representatives from all precinct users and stakeholders will continue to meet, share information and progress the implementation of the plan. So that's to that point about consultation. There will be more consultation. And finally, the fundamental question here, the future planning and development, I'm looking at page 19, marketing and promotion of sport, recreation and community opportunities needs to be based on a united vision for the whole of the precinct and not individual sports or facilities. And if, in the opinion of Councillor Grace...
Councillor Cordova, you're at nearly 6 minutes and it's a 5-minute contribution. I'll give you 10 seconds.
If Councillor Grace wanted to have a deferment, why didn't he move a deferment? As usual from Councillor Grace, it's all bluster and no action. This is just another step towards making
okay,
health
thank
and wellbeing.
You. Thank you, Ken. Thank you. Okay. Right. So we're now up to Councillor Street.
Thank you, Mayor. As any regular observer of Council will note, it's a rare day when I would seek to wholly adopt the reasoning of Councillor Cordova. but that is genuinely what I seek to do. I think you've summarised the issues magnificently and summarised the report magnificently. Ultimately, the Kingborough Sports Precinct is a community precinct and it's about community utilisation. It's about maximising that community utilisation within the facilities and frameworks that we have in place and can put in place into the future. The Precinct Future Directions Plan doesn't set down with any certainty how any of those things are going to happen and puts the onus back on Council to consult with stakeholders to ensure that whatever does happen, we do it in a way that ensures that everybody has access to the facilities that they need. To pick out some of the good parts, or the better parts in my view, of the precinct plan, I think it's fantastic that we're continuing the work that we're already doing with respect to the aquatic leisure facility. I think it's become very clear in Kingborough over a significant period of time now that this is a facility that the community are crying out for, and a lot of areas of the community that potentially have never been engaged with the Kingborough Sports Precinct before and want to be engaged in that way. So I think that's fantastic. The idea that Kingborough could have the state's first sports college is a magnificent aspirational goal that we all ought to be very keen on supporting. Mayor, I wonder sometimes whether some of the other users of the Kingborough Sports Precinct facility tire of some of the discussions that Council have, and particularly tonight. I do feel sorry for a club like the Kingborough Lions, who, in terms of participation, probably more than outweigh, well, I think almost certainly more than outweigh the clubs that are the subject of the contentious issue, being the cricket and AFL clubs. I feel sorry for them because they've been forgotten for a long time, and it's only now that Council and the State Government are working together to try and improve their facilities progressively. And that's a great thing, and this plan's only going to support that. I sometimes wonder whether the members of the Croquet Club think that we've forgotten about them as well. I mean, they're never going to be the greatest participation club at the Kingborough Sports Precinct, but they are important. They provide a sporting activity and facility to a sector of the community, and that shouldn't be forgotten about either. So, Mayor, this is a Kingborough Sports Precinct plan for all of Kingborough, and we make policy for all of Kingborough and for all of the ratepayers of Kingborough, who contribute far more than the user fees of each individual club are ever going to contribute. Ultimately, that's a dollar out of the ratepayers' pocket to support these facilities, and I think our ratepayers expect of us that we get the best utilisation possible out of them, and I'm very glad that this plan is going to put that into action.
Councillor Midgley.
Thank you, Mayor. I will speak now. Thank you, other councillors, for sharing their points of view, and thank you also to the gallery full of local sporting teams. It's fantastic to see. Just wanted to read the vision statement for the sports precinct plan. The vision statement is: the Kingborough Sports Precinct will be an exemplary leader in achieving outstanding social economic benefits for the Tasmanian community, a place where quality outcomes are delivered through the immersion and integration of education, health, community wellbeing, sport and recreational activities. For me, there's no denying that it's something great to work towards. Apart from groceries, I think I spend all my money at the sports precinct for my family. I just reflected on how many times a week I actually go to that sports precinct, picking and dropping off kids, helping on cold winter days cooking sausages, spending the time at the gymnastics centre in the early years program, and now there's, you know, the dog, taking your dog there while you let my partner play tennis, cycling there to the mountain park, taking my kids to AFL games, who are members of the Kingborough Football Club, and both will be in the club this year. they're aspiring AFL players. So I am, as I mentioned before, I have that, you know, I'm listening to the, to seeing people in the crowd, and I've read the many emails. As Councillor Street has alluded to, there are so many community groups in there, and I can read them all out. I've got them here: the netball courts, a four-court stadium, basketball, other indoor sports, state gymnastics centre, fitness centre, croquet greens, squash courts, table tennis centre, netball courts, tennis courts, radio control, a radio control club, did you know that was there? Martial arts studio, circus, mountain bike park, scouts, sports training facilities, community gardens, men's shed, multipurpose learning and meeting rooms, office, kiosk and childminding facilities. For me, it's hard to imagine that 40 years ago it was a dairy farm and now one of the busiest sporting facilities in the state. It's sort of like walking into Hobart. You go to the Kingborough Sports Centre and you see people from all over southern Tasmania in this sporting precinct. So as other councillors have said, and what we've read in our documents, that the sports precinct plan offers us time to reflect on what has been occurring there, talk to the 33 stakeholders, which has been stated that we have done, read their aspirations, and put it together in a document that will assist with decisions for the future. We can't continue to make, we can't continue to make ad hoc decisions. We need something printed out, and I did a written and researched by Inspiring Place that do a lot of work for other councils across Tasmania. They are very well known for the development of a document like this, and they do do their consultation thoroughly. I did ask a lot of questions in regards to the consultation, and I am confident that this does not set it in stone. It provides us, as what I said, in making decisions for the future. It provides us a way for a vision to look forward. I am confident that for each future decision that we're going to make, if it's a turf wicket, if it is an indoor tennis, if it is a pool, I'm confident that that will be thoroughly, have a thorough engagement with all of our communities, and we as councillors will listen to that engagement. The engagement will be a lot more thorough. Your clubs and community members in the clubs will have be able to have a say. So I'm confident that we will do that. And then those decisions will come back to council before we actually say this exactly what is happening. It does provide some recommendations of what some priorities are, but it doesn't mean that we have to do that, because we need to go out and do some further consultation. So thank you very much for the emails over the weekend, but tonight, and I hope that with my questions that I've asked, that you will that people in the gallery will understand that it is not the end, it is not the final. It is a vision. We all need a vision, something to work towards. We have house plans. We have their vision. There's something that we want to do. But it doesn't mean I'm going to have a, you know, I might have a vision of a white kitchen sink, but then that changes because you might visit a friend who has a black one or something like that. I guess it's a vision and it's not something set in stone, and I really do believe that you will have be able to have input further. So for me, I do support this motion. It has not been... I have asked a lot of questions, asked the council staff and the mayor, I've asked a lot of questions over the weekend. But I think for the continued health and wellbeing of our growing community, I support the motion as printed. And I hope that we continue to have a positive relationship with our 33 sporting groups and associations in the precinct.
Okay. For my part, I wanted to say that I thought the approach of talking to all 33 organisations during 2019 was obviously a very significant one, and I think that's obviously informed the document that we've got. It's a lengthy document. The summary is obviously the summary, but the document itself is quite long, and it's obviously been well thought out. It's been well thought out and compared to other precincts in the right across Australia, and as Mr. Wade said, it's compared very, very well. And I don't think that will surprise anyone. This is the Kingborough Sports Precinct, as I understand, I'm told when it was first envisaged, it was referred to by the community as a white elephant, ridiculed by the public, and here we are... with a room full of people who desperately don't want us to change it. It was a visionary idea, and it's been a huge success. As Councillor Reid said, 9.3 in the report outlines that Council's endorsement is being sought to enable further engagement with stakeholders in regard to facilitating the potential implementation of any of the key projects and initiatives, and I think that's important. It's been well made, point well made by Councillor Mitchell as well. It seems sensible that every project will require work to minimise disruptions or maximise benefits, and again the pool is another example of that. The aquatic facility is, in my view, a very popular idea, but of course those that are calling for a pool don't have to sit here and try and make the numbers work, and I think that's another example of an aspirational project, because we know, for example, that the Hobart Aquatic Centre, the Hobart City Council loses $1 million a year running that. If you added that to our profit and loss statement, we'd be in a world of trouble. We can't be doing that. So we've got to maximise the return back to our ratepayers from any investment. The investment across the Kingborough Sports Precinct in total is about $2.5 million a year. It's a huge investment, and I suspect in terms of expenditure as part of a budget, we'd be very high across all councils in Tasmania in doing that. So getting the financials right on that project will be a very difficult thing to do. In terms of the vision and the document, I love the vision of being united as a precinct. Councillor Cordover talked about it being very well about all the being more than the sum of its parts, and I thought that was a great point, because the precinct itself, I think, has suffered from a little bit of disjointedness. I know that some of the clubs don't historically get on very well, and I know that some of them don't have a relationship at all. I'm always surprised that there isn't sharing of facilities like gymnasiums, that trainers aren't used across different clubs, and that there isn't a regular... Well, I know there has been, but there isn't as regular catch-ups between the leadership of the clubs as there could be. And I think the vision and the role for council and its management is to try and facilitate a Kingborough Sports Precinct with its clubs that work more closely together to maximise their resources, share ideas, talent, and work together. The theme that came across for me tonight from the debate was that all of us have had something to do with the Kingborough Sports Precinct. All of us love it, and I think that's probably consistent with the community. I think you'd struggle to find someone that hasn't either themselves or had kids that have used the precinct. It's a brilliant area. It makes it has so much use, and the integration with the high school is going to be really well. The further integration with the high school is going to be really exciting. But again, onto the elephant in the room, the tiger in the room, perhaps the knight. The Knights have got a problem in that they've now got six teams playing every week on turf, including women's cricket, and one turf wicket isn't enough. That's absolutely clear for them, and perhaps it was 10 years ago. We've seen growth in population, also growth in women's cricket, the same as women's football. We've seen women embracing sport more, and we've seen the challenges that places on council as well. That leads us to a problem, and I've heard tonight it be suggested, and also during the week, it'd be suggested that we put a turf wicket back on Kingston Beach Oval. I was only there on Thursday night, and the Kingston Crows are there using the synthetic facilities. They've just invested themselves in new synthetic pitches and are thriving on the site. I don't like this idea of playing one club off against another in that way. I wouldn't like to see the Kingston Crows be asked to move from that location. Same as the Snug Cricket Club or the Channel Junior Footy Club down at Snug. Both doing their best to encourage participation in sport, and I think that's really important. Channel Junior Footy Club is really up off the canvas and trying to attract more and more kids, and I think they're doing a really good job. But of course the facilities at Snug pale in comparison to what we have at the Twin Ovals. They are opulent in comparison. So I don't like being put in a position. No one relishes. I haven't enjoyed this last week. I don't think anyone would. But my role and the council's role is to do what's in the best interest of everyone. There's 40,000 people in this community. As I said, I think all of them probably had something to do with the precinct. I would love to see us go from here as part of that consultation and work constructively with the football club to talk about how we do things. No. Unfortunately, you can't do that. Okay. All right. Very good. So with that, I... Look, I'm pleased to hear the debate. I think it was... Okay. Yep, you're actually out of order and not... No, I'm not allowed to ask. Let her ask me a question. I'm not a cricketer. Oh, hang on. Seriously.
What do we say?
Okay, under the local government meeting procedures regulations. Under the local government meeting procedures regulations, members of the public aren't able to hinder or disrupt a meeting. There's a penalty unit of 10 penalty units, and that's a warning. And I'm not allowed to let you. Okay, so that sums up my contribution. Councillor Wilson, would you like to sum up?
Thank you, Mayor. I don't think I need to go over the things we've discussed, but I did want to thank everyone for coming. It is really great to see you all here and to see that you're so passionate about the sports precinct. We love the sports precinct as well. And please do take the opportunity to feed into the consultation that will happen after this evening if the plan's endorsed tonight.
Okay, so the motion that was moved by Councillor Westwood and seconded by Councillor Cordova was that Council endorse the Kingborough Sports Precinct Future Directions Plan prepared by Inspiring Place Proprietary Limited, dated January 2020. All those in favour, please raise your hand. Well, please say aye. Let's do it. Sorry. Please say aye. Those against, we'll have a division. Please raise. All those in favour, please raise your hand. It's Councillors Street, Reet, Westwood, Cordova, Midgley and Winter. And those against is Councillors Grace, Bastone and Wass. The motion is carried. That's the end of the debate. We're going to have a 10-minute adjournment before we move to the next item. Thanks to the members of the public who came for that item.